Today, a federal judge in Texas decides whether he will end DACA, the program that protects young undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children. The judge is seen as unfriendly to the program in his previous rulings, so it's thought he'll rule in favor of the several states suing to end DACA, setting up a showdown in the Supreme Court with those who support it. So we'll keep an eye on that as we're looking this week at borders, very real lines for people who've crossed them or people who live along them. For most of us, though, borders exist in our imagination. We know about drug running through films like the Coen brothers' No Country for Old Men, the beleaguered sheriff played by Tommy Lee Jones.
I was sheriff of this county when I was 25 years old. Grandfather was a lawman, father, too. The crime you see now, it's hard to even take its measure.
We also go to borders in books. In On the Black Hill by Bruce Chatwin, twin brothers live in a farmhouse. One window looks out over the green fields of England, the other into Wales. The border runs up their staircase. Where does loyalty lie? Graham Greene's Stamboul Train follows passengers crossing borders on the Orient Express. Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. Ofred and Luke try to escape over the Canadian border before she's made a handmaid, and then there are other boundaries she's not allowed to cross. Let's add to the list. With Claudia Sadowski-Smith, who teaches literature at Arizona State University, where she specializes in border studies. She joins us from the studios of KNAU in Flagstaff, Arizona. Professor Sadowski-Smith, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What makes something a good border story?
The way I define border fictions is that this is literature, or these are cultural representations that actually look at or that are set at actual physical borders. So the border plays an important role. It is almost like another actor in the story.
So let's get to your list. The first one, The River Flows. This is the 2009 novel from Graciela Limon. Here's a reading of how the novel opens.
There is a pathway traveled by migrants that cuts away from the Mexican border as it slithers north to the Arizona desert up to Interstate 8. Migrants know this highway as La Ocho, the road that takes them to a better life, but the rail that leads to that highway is ruthless and unforgiving.
It follows a disparate group of migrants and their smugglers setting out to cross the desert from Sonora, Mexico into southwestern Arizona. It's one of the few cultural representations that actually focuses on crossings through the Arizona desert, to which migration shifted in the mid-1990s after the enforcement of urban corridors in California and in Texas. So the idea at the time was that the desert would act as a deterrent to migration, but what happened instead is migration continued and the number of border deaths actually increased. So we have a Salvadoran woman. She's her family's sole survivor of a massacre during El Salvador's civil wars, and she's trying to escape an abusive husband. We have an elderly Mexican man and his grandson who are searching for the remains of the daughter or mother. But the sheer difficulty of this six-day journey through the desert, experiencing these hardships in fictional form, asks us as readers to consider why people continue making these decisions to migrate, even knowing the difficulties of the trip. We actually don't get to see arrival at all, and it's ambiguous if any of the border crossers ever arrives.
Okay, again, so that's The River Flows. Let's go to Tropic of Orange, 1997, a Japanese-American author, Karen Tai Yamashita.
Yes, this is actually my favorite novel on the list, in that it portrays parallels between Asian Americans and Mexican Americans based on their very similar migration experiences. Two, for example, are a Latino reporter and his Japanese-American girlfriend who also works in the media, and they both realize the very personal effects of their family's migration histories that go back three generations. And then there's a first-generation ethnically Chinese immigrant from Singapore who came unaccompanied as a child with his brother disguised as a Vietnamese refugee.
Wow.
And he was socialized among Latinos in L.A., speaks Spanish. And then later on in the story, brings across the border a 12-year-old Chinese girl who may or may not be his biological cousin. He's approached by people smugglers called snakeheads from China, who brought her, just like many other hundreds of thousands of undocumented Chinese, from mainland China to Mexico.
Wow.
And so now he helps her cross the border. Another really interesting protagonist is a mythical 5-year-old laborer named Archangel. And at various points throughout the novel, he engages in various acts of performance art. And he's meant to represent undocumented border crossers of very diverse backgrounds. In one of his performances, he pulls the Tropic of Cancer. I can't really explain the whole thing. You have to read the novel. But it's the line dividing northern from southern Mexico and also the temperate from the subtropical climate zone. He pulls it across the border. And as a result of that act, time is altered. Climate in L.A. changes to that of southern Mexico. And so here we have the novel bringing together climate change and migration and showing us that climate change is becoming another factor contributing to migration. And then with the conclusion of the novel, Archangel becomes a masked wrestler called El Gran Mojado, the big wet bag.
There's more.
He fights another wrestler called Super Nafta.
Phantasmagoric. That's a Tropic of Orange, 1997. Here's a scene before the Archangel has that battle, when he's first heading north from Mexico to the U.S. and a crowd of villagers yells at him.
In the name of the Virgin of Guadalupe, go back, old man. Do you have a green card? Do you have a social security card? Do you have any money? When you get there, you will be unprotected. If you get sick, no one can give you care. If you have children, no one will teach them. In the name of Tonantzin and the memory of Juan Diego, go back. You are illegal.
Okay, The Guardians, a 2007 novel by Ana Castillo, set in a fictional New Mexican border town near El Paso, Texas. Just a little bit on that book.
It's supposedly set in the early 2000s when the numbers of border crossing deaths were still climbing. The novel itself does not look at the border crossings, but it humanizes the dead and disappeared by exploring how a border crosser's disappearance affects his family in the United States and also the local community. The novel looks at two sibling protagonists. They were brought to the United States by their parents. And while the sister actually receives U.S. citizenship through marriage and the mother through amnesty, the brother never gets his papers fixed. He crosses back and forth for work, but he needs the services of Mexican cartels that help migrants to cross. And these are cartels that have expanded their activities to migrant trafficking since the early 2000s. And he simply disappears during one of those crossings.
Oh, well, that sounds intense. That's The Guardians, a 2007 novel. So that's a partial list of books that Professor Sadowski-Smith from Arizona State University recommends about borders, novels that take you inside the story that most of us could never otherwise live. But we want to talk for a moment about film. First one you mentioned, the 1985 Oscar-nominated movie El Norte. Two Mayan siblings fleeing the Guatemalan Civil War, heading through Mexico, Los Angeles. Gripping.
Yes, so this film basically shows us that this migration from Central America is not new, that we're experiencing right now, and that has increased since about 2011. It goes back to the civil wars that I mentioned earlier. It's a very gripping film.
But I would think any film about border crossings or borders would be gripping.
Yes, I mean, they're really very challenging and complex cultural representations, both the novels and the films, because they're dealing with very, very difficult questions.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to show us not only a different way of thinking about the border and border crossings, but they're also trying to imagine solutions in some cases.
Well, because it is an incredible thing that humans do and have done forever. You know, people are always saying Jesus was a migrant, but despite the odds, people still do it, which is, you know, at the heart of any drama. So let's take a listen to another choice, 2009's Under the Same Moon, La Misma Luna, the 9-year-old Mexican boy's search for his undocumented mother in L.A.
My mom says, when I miss her, I should look at the moon because she'll be looking at it too. She's been working in America for 4 years, so she can bring me there soon.
Yeah, this is more of a mainstream film, and it is about an unaccompanied minor, and he's 9 years old, trying to find his mother. So it's a very gripping story that we've heard a lot about.
What do you see your students get out of these films and books?
They actually are very surprised because it gives them such a different view and different approach to an issue that they're bombarded with, especially, of course, in Metro Phoenix, which is about an hour and a half away from the border. So very often they come out of the class understanding with at least a more empathetic understanding of what immigrants go through, and also an understanding of why they're coming, why they continue coming, and how the United States is implicated in why they're coming.
That's Professor Claudia Sadowski-Smith, who teaches literature and border studies at Arizona State University. We'll have her list at herenow.org. Professor, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So, your suggestions. Anything by Cormac McCarthy, right? A book we're just hearing about, German author Stefan Zweig's autobiography. When he fled the Nazis, he wrote, "The moment of crossing the border, I was already more free." But then he killed himself in despair that Nazis might win. Your border films and books, hereandnow.org.